right now, we celebrate the cross of Christ, the death of Christ on that cross to pay for our sins. And the actual death was busy. If you have ever seen one of the movies, more recent movies, was full of horror and full of torment and pain beyond words. Remember, years ago, I was called to be an advisor for a translation into Romanian for The Passion of Christ. And I remember leaving the theater after watching the movie from end to end. My legs were shaking. And all I could say was two words, for me. All I could say was that. And I remember even today, it was just, a movie from Hollywood, but it truly depicted the pain and the horror that Christ went through for us. And however, in the midst of that pain, the glory of God is, since then, revealed for us at the cross of Christ. I want us to read from the Gospels a few passages before we go into our devotional this morning. It's in Mark, the 15th chapter. I'm reading from ESV, if that makes a difference. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry the cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments amongst them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. An inscription on the charge against him read, King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. So also the chief priest with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let Christ the King of Israel come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those who crucified with him also reviled him. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over a whole country, all whole land, until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, Behold, he's calling Elijah. And some ran and filled up a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come down to take him. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, Truly, this man was a son of God. And now pass it from the book of John. After this, knowing that all was now finished, said, To fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Reading the Gospels, you see the story of Christ and his death at the cross. And you hear all that he went through, the pain, the torment, and the reviling, and the torture. And at the end, you hear these words, It is finished. And sometimes we ask, why? Why the death of a most innocent, perfect man on that cross? Why? Why did this have to happen? I mean, he didn't deserve it. And then we remember what Paul said in Philippians. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and death on the cross. That was a Good Friday, when the Son of Man and the Son of God chose to get to go on that cross willingly. He knew this was coming. He didn't cower away from it, so he can open up a path for us and do this. One of three things. I mean, there are many things you can talk about the cross. I chose only three of a multitude. My heart was full this morning and yesterday, and this whole week as I prep for this message, of all the things that the cross means to us, and I had to choose a few because it's a short time, but I invite you to dig deeper and to pray and to ask God to speak to you. What does the cross mean for me? So the first point, he has set us free from the burden of sin. As you probably notice, I'll read a lot of scriptures. I'll speak little of me and a lot from the Bible. So Isaiah 53 says this: He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. At the cross, we have received freedom from the heaviest burdens of them all, which is our sins. Christ paid for them all. And as Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This verse, I know this verse for like 20 plus years, and it struck me the first time I read it, and even today. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, so that I can become the righteousness of God. And in Ephesians, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. There was a big divide between us and God, which is called sin. Which sin means basically just the willful disobedience to the will of the Almighty God. And that has consequences. You may say whatever you want, but sin has consequences. And God said, I love man. I love my creation. I will make a way for them to be redeemed through my Son. And that is what the cross attained for us, freedom from the burdens of our sins. Is there anything that burdens you today? That's my question for you right now. I know some of you, not all of you. Is there anything that burdens you today that you can say, this stands between me and God? Well, it is a good day to give that burden to him, because it is the Good Friday. Besides, he saved us from the wrath of the most holy, almighty God. Until you understand how holy God is and how risky, if I can say this word, is to come against as rebellious against the almighty God, until that moment you don't understand how much you need salvation, how much you need the sacrifice of God. If you think God is just a mild old guy that just sits up on a throne and plays harp all day long, then you don't care. But if you understand God as the most holy one and also as the almighty one that is just and he will call for payment for every sin, then you know how much you need Christ. In Romans, Paul says these words: Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, or if you want this word justified, is fancy, counted as innocent. Counted as righteous. That is the... I somehow know the meaning in Greek of this word. It means this: you were counted as righteous. You were counted as innocent because of him, because of his blood. Much more shall we be saved from him, by him, from the wrath of God. The wrath of God exists, and it burns sinners. The fifth psalm, it says, God hates sinners. He loves men. But by God being a holy God, he cannot accept sin. That's why he hates sinners. But he loves us so much. God cannot say, your sin is okay, I shall overlook it. But God says, your sin is not okay. Let me find a way to bring you back to me. God's love for us as human beings is immense. We cannot even have words to measure it. In his love, God said, I will find a way to free you from your sins. And 1 John 2:2, again, a fancy word I will explain in a second. He, Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That fancy word, propitiation, drew my attention years ago because I didn't know what it meant. So I look it up. It means this: the sacrifice that takes away the wrath of God from us. That is propitiation. The sacrifice that takes away the wrath of God from us. Christ has set us free from the burden of sin through his death on the cross. Christ has removed the wrath of God from us because of the love of God. It is a good Friday, because the wrath of God is no longer against us. All that was burdening us, we're free from it. And that's why we call it Good Friday. Colossians 2:13-14. God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So now we can draw near to God our Father with all the burdens that we have. Just give them to him. Is this not a good day when you can say, I can draw near my Holy Father and not fear his wrath anymore, because the wrath is gone through Christ. My God calls me, come with boldness to my throne of grace. And that's not because we just look nice and have a brand new tie. It's because of his sacrifice, of Jesus' sacrifice. And that's why it's a Good Friday. Even more, it's not just that the wrath of God is gone from us. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Colossians 1:19-20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of God. And let me remind you of a word from the Old Testament, a name, actually, of a child. A child that was named by his parents Solomon, which is a derivative from the word peace in Hebrew. But God said, no, I have a new name for that child. You call it peace with God, Solomon. But the prophet Nathan told the parents, Bathsheba and David, King David, says this child's name from God is Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. Peace with God means more than just God is not angry at me anymore. Peace with God means God loves me so much. I'm his beloved. That name, Jedidiah, means when there's peace with God, that comes with the heart of God for us, for all of you. Your sins carried away. Wrath of God removed, replaced by the peace of God and that heart of the Father that says, you are my Jedidiah, you are my beloved. And in the end, through his death, we are free to live for God. Whoops. He himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, so that we might die to sin, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. I told you sometimes in one of the sermons that I don't really buy the I had no choice excuse, because you always have a choice. And if you say, I couldn't do otherwise, I say, yes, you could have. I say that always with gentleness and with kindness and with hurt in my heart also for those that struggle with sin, like I struggle myself. I'm not above it either. But I have been freed from the burden of sin. I've been freed from the wrath of God. I know peace with God now, and that calls me to one thing, to live righteously for my God, to honor him with my life, to respond to his death on the cross by saying, Lord, take my life and sanctify it and use it for your glory. And if the burdens of sin are still heavy on you this morning, I remind you, Christ paid it all. And there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1-2 say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That's why it's a Good Friday. We no longer have to carry the burden of sin. We no longer have to fear the wrath of God. We now enjoy peace with our Almighty. And all those things lead us to know that we can live free of sin for Christ. Shall we sin sometimes? My English is failing me right now. Are we going to sin sometimes, even today? Yes. I hope you don't. I hope I don't. But I know I'm still fighting, like Paul said, with this human nature. And sometimes I do what I don't want to do. But even for those sins, I encourage you to just go before Christ. 1 John, 1 chapter, verses 7, 8, 9. God says there that he only wants you to go before him and confess. And he is able and just to cleanse you from all the iniquity. 1 John, 1 chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. So rejoice today. It is a Good Friday. We no longer carry the condemnation of the sin. It is a Good Friday because the wrath of God has been removed from us. It is a Good Friday because we can enjoy the peace with the Almighty. When that curtain was broken in two, as Mark says, and Matthew also says that, that was a symbol for us having access, free access to God the Father. The Holy of Holies was no longer closed for us. And that is reason to rejoice because we can face our God and say, my Lord and my Father. And he will say, my Jedidiah, the one my son has died for. And all those should only elicit one answer from us. God, help me live righteously for you. May I honor you with my life. It is a Good Friday. So many things happen. We do not celebrate his death or his torture or his pain or him being spat on or all that. No, we celebrate what he achieved at the cross. Freedom from our sins. Wrath of God being removed. Peace of God being offered to us freely. And the power to live a life that honors God. It is a great Friday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who chose to die on that fated day, who chose to die on that cross and pay for my sin so that I can live freely today, so I can honor you with my walk and my words and my thoughts, my choices and everything that I am. Lord, I rejoice this morning that I no longer have to fear you. I used to fear my human father. I used to fear his anger. But Lord, you're not like my human father. You are the Almighty God who provided a way for me to not have to suffer your wrath. And I thank you for that, that I can peacefully and gladly and humbly come before you with all my requests, all my burdens, all my joys, everything that I am. Father, I thank you that you paid at the cross that great price so that today I can live freely from the condemnation of sin and live under the law of the Spirit. I thank you for this, and may our prayers honor you. May our commitment honor you. May our lives, beyond words, honor you this morning and not just this morning. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Shall we stand together and just